I want to express how glad to be, we are to be here. I think our last time here was, it would be a year in the 1st of December, and we had no intentions of it being almost a year. We had planned to try to come back sooner than that. But we desire your prayers for the Lord to meet with us here tonight. And we want to give the balance to the morning message. So we may be repeating some of the scriptures that we did read. We want to start with 2 Corinthians 6 again, verses 14 through 18. Once again, it starts out and it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" And verse 17 then says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be your father, or will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That was verse 18. So I want to make some comments in the beginning here concerning this passage and Paul giving warnings not to be closely involved with unbelievers. The key word here is fellowship. It says for us not to have, well, it speaks and says, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" This word fellowship is very important. The definition is individuals who have common interest, common beliefs, common goals, common purposes. And of course, when it's a spiritual fellowship, it's has a common foundation. And with that common foundation, it is centered on spiritual things. It is centered on things of heavenly worth. That's what our foundation is, that you and I have sweet fellowship with each other. We may have different personalities. We're brought up in different, I'm going to say, cultures. Even in our nation, we, different areas of the country will have, I'm going to call it cultures. You go to different parts of the world, you find other cultures. Yet if we have the foundation of spiritual things and things of heavenly worth, we can be in sweet fellowship with each other. And I know you're, I know you understand what I'm saying, because I mentioned in the beginning of the message this morning that I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. We took a little trip and went to Fresno this last summer, and it was our first time. And we had most of the saints there we had not met before. But let me tell you, we had sweet fellowship. It is such a blessed thing to know the fellowship of the Spirit. And though we're different, we can think the same way. Actually, the word of the Lord says for the people of God to see eye to eye and to speak the same things. I like that. I find that to be true among the saints of God. Well, as I was thinking about these things, I feel that among the Church of God or the saints of God, that we have a common vocabulary. Vocabulary, I love vocabulary. I love the English language. I love looking up words. I love the study of words. That's just me. But you know, in the Church of God, there is a common vocabulary that is familiar to us. When we get saved and we come and mingle with the saints of God, it isn't long till we are speaking the same words or the same vocabulary. Have you noticed that? And I'm going to use an example. We come to prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is so important. Prayer meeting is vital. The middle of the week, you've had a few days, you've been in the world, you've been rubbing shoulders with those people in the world. But you come to prayer meeting, it's a time to refresh. It's a time to express what the Lord has done for you. And when we do that, our vocabulary is common. We understand each other when we begin to speak of our burdens. We understand that word. We understand when we start saying, oh, I've had a great trial. We know what that means. It's a common vocabulary. We understand when we begin to testify to our victories, don't we? Oh, we're not ignorant of these words that we hear in our services. And so when we consider the unbeliever, the one that would come in, say from out of the world, that has no instructions at all, would it be common to them? I would say it would not. They would have to learn a new vocabulary. So an unbeliever might not be able to relate, but the believer fully relates and fully understands the vocabulary of the Church of God. So I'm thinking about unity in relationship to fellowship. Unity is so important. We understand from the Word of God that where there is unity, there's power. When our spirits are blended together and working together and we're in sweet fellowship and we come before the Lord, say we're coming before the Lord with a great need. When we do it in unity, it turns the attention of God. He hears our cries. He loves unity. And I want to speak just to give you a few scriptures on unity. And I know they're familiar, but I think we need to be reminded. Psalms 133, 1 through 3, and I'm just going to give you some highlights. Oftentimes I do this because I don't want us to get caught up in some of these words that may not pertain to us personally. But it starts out and it says, behold, how good and pleasant, and how pleasant. I mean, it had to have that same emphasis in that verse right there. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. A little bit further down in the next verse, it says, it is like a precious ointment Have you ever experienced the unity of the brethren and counted it precious? We must learn to count it precious. Don't let it slip. Don't let these things slip from our services and in our midst. Let's keep the fellowship. Let's keep the unity. And then it says, it's like dew. Well, we may not just really appreciate the dew at Monarch early in the morning when we're trying to walk across the grass and our feet are getting wet, but it's still a blessing. And then it says in the last part of the next verse, for there the Lord commandeth the blessing. In unity, He commands a blessing for His people. Then in Romans, the 15th chapter and verse 6, it just says this little phrase I want to give here, that we might have one mind. Oh, I want to tell you, it's so important for us to have one mind together. Thank the Lord. And then, of course, I've already mentioned the one that's seeing eye to eye and speaking the same things. It's all part of that unity. So again, we're going to give the question that has been read. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Paul gave us another little warning in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 11. And he simply said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, this word reprove, I think we need to understand a little bit better. I don't believe that the Lord is saying, now I want you to go out and get a hold of the first sinner that you know, and I want you to start preaching at them, and I want you to reprove them of their wickedness. Don't believe it's that way. And I'm going to give you why I don't believe that way. I believe that God, in John 3:17, it said He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. But what did He do? He sent Him that the world through Him might be saved. So we spoke this morning and we said that some things has a two-sided coin. This is one of those. Because we can produce many scriptures that Jesus did condemn the world, but His purpose was to save. He didn't come to just make people feel bad. He had a purpose to change their lives, to change the direction they were going, to point them in the right direction. So, the life of Christ, it did condemn the world, did it not? Didn't it convict people? It did. So that's the other side of the coin of that particular point. Jesus' life brought light into the world. We know the scriptures. He said, I am the light of the world. He told us what He was in this world. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In one place He told us, I am bread. He told us to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, and that offended people. And yet, it appealed to those who would receive it, thank the Lord. So, Jesus was sent into the world, and He did condemn the world. But He did it with wisdom. So I'm going to read now in John 17 and 15 through 18. And we read it this morning, but we want to reaffirm it this evening. Starting at verse 15. Jesus, it was that prayer that He prayed. I personally love this chapter. Because in one place He even says, I pray not for them only, but I pray for all of those who will believe, and that includes me. So when Jesus was praying this, it says to the side, a special prayer for the church, He was praying for the church today, as well as the church of that time. So let's start at verse 15. He said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. See, he doesn't want us to just come into this world. This is our world. This is where we were born. This is where we were destined to be. There is no other world. I cannot go to another planet. He didn't say, Lord, take them out of this world. They're the people of God, so take them out. I want them to be so separated. But that's not what he did. He said, I didn't pray for them to be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. In verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth, thy word is truth. See, we believe the word. That's what separates us from the world. That's what makes us a peculiar treasure unto the Lord, because we receive him and we receive his word. We believe his word. We practice his word. We live by his word. That makes us different. And then verse 18, we want to focus on, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And that's what we want to speak on this evening, because it is the balance. We are not here to go and live on an island. We're not here to say, oh, we all are going to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and we're all going to keep ourselves from the evil of the world, and so we're going to go out here. And there are people that do this. They simply buy acres and acres of land, and they have a commune, and they go and live there. And they do not associate with the world. And that is not what God wants his people to be or do. He wants us to have a vision. There's a song that the Lord inspired me, a couple of verses. And if I give you the title, you're going to say, well, what does that have to do with this thought tonight? Are you adorning the doctrine? But listen to two little phrases, parts of verses. Verse 1, part of verse 1 says, so when the world looks up on you. So how can the world see a difference if they don't have an example of someone that is a peculiar treasure unto the Lord, that is in their midst? So when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. Oh, that's part of the doctrine, is living the doctrine. But we don't stuff it down anyone's throat. We live it. The next verse of that song is making attractive the way. That's our job. We're called. He was sent into this world. You and I are sent into this world to make attractive the way. And it says, honoring Christ by your actions and by the words that you say. Don't you know that our words, our actions mean something? There is another song that I still remember, the very first time I ever heard it. And I won't be giving all of it, but I'm giving you phrases from it. The first time I heard this song, I literally was weeping. And I hope that the Lord can so impress it upon us of our mission. Yes, we are to keep ourselves from the world, but we are in this world. May we be visible in this world. But this song has phrases like this. So send I you. Have you ever heard that song? I love that song. So send I you to labor unrewarded. Oh, are you going to labor and feel like you need to be paid for it or you need some kind of a reward? I want to tell you, don't look for the reward in this life. Look for your reward in heaven. Look for the crown. The scripture says, let no man take your crown. That's in this world. Another phrase is, I send you to toil for me alone. Let it be our purpose. Let it be our desire to lift him up. Didn't Jesus say more than once, if I be lifted up, who does the lifting up? You and me. In this world, being an example. He said, so send I you to bind the bruised and broken. It sounds like to me we have a job. You're going to meet someone out there in the world that is going to be bruised and broken. Have you been bruised and broken? Do you understand what God can do for the bruised? What did Jesus say? He said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. We go and we in this world and we are sent to bind the brokenhearted and help. But Jesus said, I came to heal the broken heart. And so we find these broken people. Don't you know this world is full of broken people? And they need to have hope. They need to hope in something that will work. And Jesus came to help all of those that are broken and bruised. And so send I you to leave your life's ambition. We're sent into this world to leave our life's ambition. Oh, what is that? What is your ambition? Do we give more energy to our ambition than we do to the work that God is sending us to fulfill in this life, in this world? And he said, so send I you to hearts made hard by hatred. I want to tell you, if ever there is a time that you and I need to have the love of God in our hearts, that we are familiar with the love of God, and that we have experienced the times that we have forgiven when our hearts were tempted to be hard and unforgiving. We are in a world where hatred and malice are rampant among our society, among the political realm. We have never seen it like it is today in my lifetime. So therefore, what that tells me is that the very spirit of the world is in hatred and malice, and it wants those spirits to attach themselves to the people of God. But you must be wise and listen to the word of God, that you will have to resist the devil in this world. You will don't allow the enemy to put any kind of spirits on you that is from the world. Oh, we may call a lot of things from the world, but the enemy would like very much to put just a little spirit of hatred and malice, and it hinder you before you end this world. So he does send us. Let's turn now to Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at 13 through 16. And Jesus just so plainly tells us our purpose in this world. And he simply says, you are the salt of the earth. I have a purpose for you in this life. I want you to be so flavored that the world can see a difference in you. I'm not wanting you to go hide yourself from those people on the job. I'm not wanting you to just isolate yourself. That's what the enemy would like for us to think when we hear a message such as this morning. But it's not that way. Yes, it's that way. It's one side of the coin. But the other side is, Jesus is saying, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to make a difference in this world. And then he goes on and he said, ye are the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And then he talks about a candle, the light of a candle. You don't go and put it under a bushel. Don't let the enemy think that you have to be so separated that you couldn't ever be a light to anyone. Don't hide your candle under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, that it can give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your... See, we have to be visible to the world. We're not to isolate ourselves. But Jesus said that they may see your good works and do something else. They'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. They won't give you the glory. Don't expect it. Let the glory always go to the Father. So that's one of the scriptures that tells me God is calling for His people to have a work in this world. Be visible. I'm going to say it again and again. You know, when we go to the Walmart, maybe we are so busy we don't stop and look around. But you know, we need to take the time to make eye contact with people. We need to take the time to give them a greeting, a smile, a friendly hello. It doesn't cost us anything. But it's part of us being visible. How often does this, and the scripture says it, that when someone would ask of the hope that you have to be ready to give an answer, how often, and I'm speaking of myself, that I'm not really prepared. I'm not thinking about it. I'm busy gathering up my stuff and ready to go back home and get busy on my jobs, doing whatever I'm doing at home. And then occasionally, someone will get in a conversation, and it happened to me just not very long ago. I've not had an experience quite like it. Here again, I'm just running through the Walmart, and this lady came up behind me and just started talking to me. What church do you go to? It turned out she went to the Church of God, but not like ours. And we stood there and had quite a conversation. Her asking me questions. You know what? That's what God's calling for. He wants His people to keep themselves from the world, but out there in the world, be a light. Be ready to give an answer of hope that you have within you. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 20. This is our purpose now. He's sending us into the world, as He was sent into the world. The 5th chapter, verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. Very little phrase. We have a job to do. Jesus was in this world. He went back. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He needs someone to stand in His place in this world. He's calling for every child of God to be an ambassador for Him. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who represents another. I don't have a reputation. I don't have my reputation. I stand to have a reputation for Christ. Another definition says that we promote Him, being an ambassador for Christ. So that's one of our jobs in this world. 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to look at 2 and 3. And he says that we're something else now. You are our epistle. You know what an epistle is? It's a letter. You're going to be a letter for the Lord in this world. They are going to read you. You know, our epistle, or the letter that we are representing in this world, it should read like the Bible. It should read like Christ. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of men. See, Paul is saying this. And then he says, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Oh, let us be in this world and not of this world, but may people read us, read our lives, and be able to feed upon us as though it were Christ. So we are ambassadors and we are letters written in our hearts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at 19 through 23. We have some instructions here to give us wisdom. And Paul is saying, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And look what he did. And I think it takes great wisdom from above to be able to be this in this world. I think it takes a mature saint of God to be as Paul was in this. So don't let that be an excuse. Reach for it. Pray for it. Ask God to make you as Paul, that you can be in this world, not of this world, and not affected by the world. So unto the Jew, I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, that I may gain them without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I don't think he was being a hypocrite. I don't think he was presenting himself in a false way. He was simply using his knowledge of being maybe in those places one time. He was a Jew. He was under the law. He understood people that thought that way. If you and I can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, qualify me. I remember a number of years ago, and the Lord will do this for any who seek for it. I was down praying, and the Lord met me, and he spoke it to me. The scripture that said, covet earnestly the best gifts. And as the Lord did that, I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not qualified. You know what he said? He said, I will qualify you, but you seek for it. It's the same with this. God will give us experiences that we may be able to understand those in the world or those who are walking in darkness. And to the weak, he became weak. That's not saying he just turned and was weak. It said he remembered the times when he was weak. Remember your experiences. Remember your victories. Remember what the Lord does for you in life, in this world. How he fights your battles and teaches you. That's another thing. You know, you and I need to come before the Lord often and say, Lord, teach me. What are some of the things we need to be taught? We need to be taught how to pray. We may have prayed all of our life, but you know we can always learn to pray better. It's part of my prayer. Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray the prayer of faith. Teach me how to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. Use the word of the Lord when you pray. And seek for those things that are above, not the things of the earth. Seek after them with all of your heart and say, Lord, qualify me, that I may be able to understand those that don't know where they're going or how they're living. And he will help you just like he did Paul here. To the weak, I became weak. I wanted to gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men that I might by all means, whatever it takes, in this world, I may win one. At least one. Don't you want to win at least one? Shouldn't that be our minimum? Oh, we could have ambition, spiritual ambitions to win many. But God wants us to have the ambition to make a change or a difference in at least one in my lifetime, in this world. So let's go to Luke 19. I want to speak about Jesus for a little bit. And we won't be reading all of this passage, for we're all familiar with it. But the 19th chapter of Luke, Jesus. I love this part too. Actually, it's the first 10 verses. Jesus came into Jericho and he saw there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had witnessed or heard something about Christ. He knew there was something different. And he desired to see him, and you know the story. He ran and he climbed up in a sycamore tree, and as Jesus passed by, Jesus looked at him and he told him to come down and make haste. He was going to go to his house and abide at his house. And those that were looking on, they condemned him that he was eating with sinners. I'm going to speak to us a little bit. And I'm not going to say everyone has to do it exactly like this. Don't be afraid to eat with your coworker and communicate with your coworker. And don't feel like that you have to just preach a message. Have a normal conversation. Have a normal conversation of life. Show interest in your coworker. Show interest in your neighbor. I'm talking to myself too. We're living on a street that has, the older ones have either died or moved to the nursing home, and we have younger people moving in, and I don't even know their names. And you know, God is not wanting me to be holed up in my house He wants me to still be a light. And I feel that the only way that I'm a light right now is that my neighbors see us going to church every time there's church. They see us walking out, getting in our car with our Bible. They see us working in the yard, dressed in our regular clothes. They know there's a difference. Excuse me. We can be a light in our example. Continuing on with life. And it speaks something to our neighbors. But ask the Lord to teach you how to communicate with your coworkers and with your neighbors until they ask you. Recently, our neighbor across the street, they're older. They came up in the drive and we don't even know the names of the neighbors next to them. They haven't been there that long. But this neighbor asked us to pray for that neighbor. That thrilled my heart. We didn't preach to them. We lived it before them. Wait until they say, "What is your hope? Where do you go to church? What do you believe? You're in this world. You're not of this world. But let not the world influence you." Thank the Lord. So, Jesus here went home with a sinner. Remember, Paul cautioned us not to be too close to unbelievers. There is a caution, but there is a place that God can lead us to be a witness to someone in the world. So Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So Jesus, he did eat with the sinners. There's a balance here. There's a balance. And I'm going to give you a little story. This young man probably was not strong enough to resist the temptations is why it failed. But this young man got saved, and this young man was not literate, so therefore he could not read the Bible, but he listened to the Bible on tape all the time. He was feasting. He was growing in the things of God. He worked in the oil field. He had a position that he had to take the drillers out, and most of the time before he got saved, he always took them to the bars. And they would make their deals over drinking. And so after he was saved, he said, "Well, I can still go to the bars, but I'll just get a soft drink." And he did for a while, but it pulled him down. Do you see the danger? There is a balance here. You don't give yourself to fellowship the world. You give yourself to be a light. God has grace. He has the power for you and me to be in this world and not of this world, and to still reach out and be a light in this world. Thank the Lord. So don't follow that example where that young man went out and took up his old habits once again. Now I have another little in the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 12 through 14. This is just a little counsel. Okay, let's see. 14:12, verse 12. Okay. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, that thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So the little thought that we have in this passage of being in this world, look for opportunities to serve those who cannot pay you back. Oh, we love to eat with our family and prepare family meals. There's nothing wrong with those things. But get our eyes on who can I serve in this world. There are a lot of people in this world that are lying. We have what are called panhandlers. And they are at these corners and to tell you the truth, I was affected. It was a cold day, and the man was walking with a limp, and he had a sign, and he said he would work for food. Well, I was headed to the grocery store, and I just bought a bunch of groceries, really shopped carefully. I wanted to really supply them. Went back and pulled up. I said, I don't have any work for you, but I have some groceries. Where can I put them? Oh, well, you can put them over there in that car. My brother is over there. Well, I get over there, and he says, I invite them to church. And oh, our grandmother was Church of God. And they really put on a front. Well, I still wasn't thinking too much. I felt blessed. I felt this is what the Lord wanted me to do in this world. And a few weeks later, I was in my own town. And these two men were working the same corner with each other in my town. So we're going to be burned sometimes. But sometimes you may find someone that really is in need. Listen to the voice of the Lord. It's nothing wrong with your meals with your families, but look to serve others. There really are some poor people in this world. Let us serve those that cannot pay us back. Luke 14 now. No, I just read that one. It's John 4 and 35. And Jesus is saying this. And he said, say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I read this and I don't really see it like that. I believe that was a time that was earlier than what you and I are living. I believe we are still in a time of harvest, but not concerning a whole field that is white. As we were coming here, we were passing the cotton fields. And some of them are ready to be harvested, and it just looks beautiful. But after those big machines go through those fields, There is very little left. That was in the past. That was done by hand. And then there comes a gleaning. That's the time you and I are in. And we must not be discouraged in this world, because Jesus even told us how to glean. What is gleaning? It's getting in there and getting the last of the big crop. He said that there would be some berries up in the uppermost boughs, two or three here, just a few over there. It takes work. It takes effort to do the work of God in this world, in this time. Look for it. Ask for it. Have a vision for it. Look for those that are really sincere and honest and wanting to know about the Lord. Look for those that have an honest heart. Ask God to help you and guide you to those that are really seeking for Him. So when the Lord said here, look on the fields, I do think we need to look on the fields in this world. It's not all over. The end has not come. There's still some people that can be saved. Let that be our mission. Let be an ambassador. Be that epistle. And look for those one or two or three or four. Don't be disappointed that it's not a big field of white. It's a different age. And you and I can fulfill this age in this world at this time. Thank the Lord. Our final scripture is in Proverbs 11 and 30. And it says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's our mission. We're called to go into the world. We're called to be separate from the world, but now we have a mission. And it says that if you are wise, you and I, we will know how to win some souls. So that's our little balance to the message this morning. We certainly mustn't ever isolate ourselves and think that that's God's will. He wants us to be visible in this world. He's calling for us to be a light. He's calling for you and me to be that ambassador and represent Him. He's calling for us to be that epistle that the world can read and glorify Him. Pray for me.